Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. We'll have Ask D. Mace in 30 minutes, so get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to those in 30 minutes. But I'm shocked that it's taken us to Friday to even really get into the weeds into all of this. Mm-hmm. Willie's take it to the bank last week, which we'll get into later on in the show, was three catches from Treylon Burks. I thought, Willie, this is supposed to be your month, brother. You're setting yourself up for failure. No way Treylon Burks is getting the ball three times. And he did. Yeah. Three receptions.
Well, he had two so early. I'm thinking, man, I might hit the jackpot pretty easy here by halftime. And it took a while to get the third.
Yep.
Were the only three targets. It's not like they threw it to him eight times and he caught three. Mm-hmm. Only three targets, but he caught all three.
A little tease, by the way. There is a shakeup in the standings. So just putting that out there.
I have fallen off my perch, which might I I'll get to it and take it.
Okay.
But Treylon Burks, three catches. And I thought, okay, all right, we're getting somewhere here. But also I thought to myself, how depressing is it that your first-round pick, who is supposed to take over the reins after you traded A.J. Brown, has a day where he catches the ball three times, and we're thinking that that's kind of a breakthrough? So it's a double-edged sword here with Treylon Burks. You at least saw more than you've gotten from Treylon Burks over the last few weeks, but it's still only three catches. But Titans wide receiver coach Rob Moore talked about kind of what he's seen from Treylon Burks, what he saw on Sunday. This was Rob Moore.
He did some good things. He played fast. He had a lot of volume. You know what I mean? I think his body of work overall was pretty solid. Did some nice things in the run game. And he just got to build on that this week and build on it the next week and the week after.
My question is, how do you build on that? Because I hear Rob Moore, you know, yeah, you got some good volume. Mm-hmm. Did he? He had three catches. I mean, more than he's gotten. And he said, you know, he's been playing well. He's been working hard. I think that he's probably been working hard all season long. So how do you build upon that?
The thing is that the only way he can build upon that is that if they involve him in the offense. He can't build upon it if he's not getting targeted. He can't build upon it if you wait until the second quarter or the second half to get him going. What you did last week, was what, you know, you should have been doing all season long when he's healthy, is get him involved in the football game. Sometimes coordinators, when they're in the flow of a game, in the end, you have a guy like D-Hop on your team. You sort of – it's not necessarily tunnel vision, but it's like, okay, I'm in a rhythm. This guy is producing, meaning D-Hop, so I'm going to continue to call plays with D-Hop in mind. But then all the while, you're leaving out Treylon Burks. Now, everybody will get – what people think is, well – Nick Westbrook-Kinney is getting targeted. Chris Moore is getting targeted. Chigakonko, yeah. So if they can do it, he can do it. In theory, yeah. But those guys, when they go in a game, they go in a game for a specific reason. It's either, you know, you're good at blocking, so we're going to run it to your side, or we're setting up a play for you to get you the ball. Chris Moore, he's their deep ball threat. So they're setting up things to get him the ball deep. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is sort of their third down-ish. You know, he's become like their red zone guy when they want a big catch and people double-team D-Hop. They're looking for – because Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is always in there. So they're comfortable with him. And that leaves Treylon Burks out every time. Now, he has to stay injured. I mean, he has to stay healthy. But a lot of his injuries has been things he cannot just help. It's not like he's pulling hamstrings out there.
It's still injuries nonetheless.
Yeah, injuries nonetheless. But when you have a guy that has his skill set, You must involve him in the game. That's why when Vrabel was saying all that crazy stuff, oh, we don't design plays. Like, dude, stop lying. Stop it. I know it. I've seen it. So you can tell them that, and I'm sure they don't believe you. But I'm not going to believe you because you design plays for people you want to get the ball in their hands. Mm-hmm. You design it for D-Hop. You design it for Chigakonkwo, Chris Moore. Why can't you go out of your way to design plays so he can get the ball in his hands? You were able to do it last week. Great. Now you need to be consistent in doing it. You're asking him to be consistent in catching it. Well, you need to be consistent in involving, like truly involving, not throwing him bones here and there. No, hell with that. Involve him in the game. Target him 8-9 times and see what happens. Again, I go back to don't tell me what he can do. Show me what he can do. And then two, don't tell me he's not producing if you're not giving an opportunity to produce. If you give him an opportunity to produce and he's not doing it, you know what Derek Mason will do? I walk away. I won't even say anything. Traylon, they gave you an opportunity. You blew it. But you haven't even given him that consistently. Mm-hmm. So you can't tell me that he's not a good receiver or he's inconsistent when you're not consistently trying to get him the ball. Mm-hmm.
As we sit here and we don't really know who the quarterback is going to be for sure, right? We suspect Tannehill, I think, is the vibe we're getting. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say that we don't think Will Levis will play?
Mm-hmm. And if that's Vrabel true, said Tannehill will play if he can't go.
Yeah. It's going to be Tannehill.
Levis didn't practice yesterday.
And I've been going back and forth in my mind on this because I know people have been debating it. Mm-hmm. Like, on one hand, you really do want to give Malik Willis every chance to, you know, show people that he can be the backup, which we kind of said that at the end of training camp, right? Mm-hmm. He played all those games in the preseason, and we're saying to ourselves, I don't know if he can be a starter, but being a useful backup in this league is an important job, as we've seen. I mean, how many teams are playing very important games with their backup in there right now?
Look at
tons.
Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. Tons.
He might get the Colts to the playoffs.
Yes.
Jake Browning in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco in Cleveland. It's the year of the backup.
And sometimes it's taken those guys, 4 or 5 years before they get to that point. So can Malik Willis, with more opportunities, more time to work behind the scenes and get better, could he grow into that? Like, he's probably not there right now. But can he get to that? That's what you have to kind of find out. So on one hand, there's an argument, get him in there. But the other argument, because we've talked about reasons why Tannehill probably is better off not playing, right? Uh-huh. Being guaranteed to be healthy on the free agent market next year, that's going to be important. But for the Titans, and you're Vrabel, if I'm trying to take these next steps with Burks, mm-hmm. who's really important in the future, and Spears and everything, and I'm trying to run the offense,
I need somebody.
I need Tannehill that knows. If I want 7 or 8 targets, and I'm saying, okay, we want to emphasize this, win or lose, we'll take the result, but we're in developmental mode partially here. We're trying to win. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but I really want to see if Burks can play. You kind of need Tannehill quarterback, right?
Yeah, you do, because he's the more veteran guy. He understands the offense. He's comfortable with throwing the ball to those guys. But what it also tells me as I think about this more, I hope it's not the case. I hope I am wrong. But Malik Willis will not be on this roster next year.
I don't think so either.
That's what this move potentially is telling me. If Will Levis can't go, and Ryan Tannehill has to go, that tells me they don't have the least amount of faith that Malik Willis can go in there and orchestrate the offense, which, again, leads to, will he be on this roster next year?
Do you have faith again?
I don't. I'm being honest. Now, has he gotten better? Mm-hmm. Yes, he's gotten better. But has he gotten better to a point where I trust him with the offense? No.
No.
I have it. And unless he gets there, but we won't see it this year unless Ryan Tannehill goes down, which could be a high probability with that offensive line. If Ryan Tannehill goes down, then we may be forced to see Malik Willis underneath center. But from what I've seen, did he get better? Yes, he got better. But did he get better to a point where he has cemented himself as the question, me as the exclamation mark backup for next year, like you are the guy? No, he hasn't, and he's far from that.
No.
Yeah. So it unfortunately, in this game, in this situation that the Titans are in, this would be complete ideal situation for bringing a young quarterback in, seeing what he has, letting him develop the last three games, and then, you know, that can be a part of our evaluation process. But they're out of the playoffs, can't get to the playoffs, no way, no how, and they still didn't put you in? That speaks volumes. Yeah, that speaks loud.
And I do think part of it is, you know, I have to look at it from Mike Vrabel's point of view. I have to look at it from Amy Adams Strunk's point of view, because I'm with you. That looking at it from the outside, looking in, you're not making the playoffs.
Exactly.
You know, it's a wash at this point. Mike Vrabel might be looking at it like, I could be coaching for my job.
Yeah.
Like, we got three games left of the season. Two of those games are divisional games. That if Malik Willis is quarterbacking this team, there's a very high likelihood that you're going to get run out of the building. Just based off of the teeny tiny sample size that we had of Malik Willis in London, ooh, it didn't look good. Now think about four quarters of that. That's brutal. That Mike Vrabel could be looking at it like, do we need to win? I mean, yeah, you'd like to win, but it's not like there's anything on the line except my job could be on the line.
But and that's how you look, right? Are you looking good? Right? Are you playing hard? Are you competitive?
And the perception.
The perception is important.
But it goes back to what you said 2 minutes ago, Willie. How can we evaluate a Treylon Burks, evaluate Chika Conquo even more if we put Malik Willis underneath center? He's not going to give us any opportunity to develop, to evaluate those guys consistently. So I have to put back in the veteran guy that I know at least he can run the offense with his eyes closed. So now I get a better, you know, I get a better assessment moving forward on certain guys within this offense. If you put Malik Willis in there, it will be hard because your sole attention will be on the quarterback and what he isn't doing, as opposed of, well, is Treylon run? Is he running? You know, would he would have been open? Is he open? Is Chig open? Are they running the right routes, right depths? You can see that, but your focus is so much on the quarterback because of the things he isn't able to do at this point. So I know we're not on Malik Willis. I know we're on Treylon Burks, but I think, you know, it's telling that potentially Ryan Tannehill will be the starter this week if Levis can't go. That tells me that they want to continue to, you know, evaluate this team and see where they are heading into the offseason.
And win. They want to win.
You want to win your last – because they're division games. Two out of the three are division games. And you don't want to lose to Houston again.
Ooh. In Houston? They probably will.
You want to strike that right note of you play to win. Yeah. If you win, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm willing to live with – losses, because there is a benefit to that. But the most important thing is compete. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Compete level. That's why these overtime losses, I joked about the hockey, you would get a point in those two overtime losses they had. And it's crazy. You think about it, if they flipped and they found a way to win both of those games, then they'd still be in the race somehow. Mm-hmm. But at least they are in it. And it was frustrating. Yeah. On Monday, everybody's going crazy. How did they lose that game? They were up 13-0. But at least they were playing hard, and they were engaged, and they were ticked off that they lost. I think they got to keep that, right? Keep that expectation. Because it's dangerous when you're like, well, we don't really care if we win. Let's just tank. We lose to get the better draft. If that seeps into the locker room.
That can't be their mentality.
And that's the vibe you're getting in the locker room, then it can get ugly.
It cannot be their mentality.
You don't want that.
You do not want that. And that's – I understand the fans' frustration of, why are we even talking about winning the game? Just throw Malik Willis out there, lose the next three, that'll set you up for a better draft position. I get that. And that's the silver lining of being bad is, hey, you get a better draft position. Those players aren't thinking like that. Have you ever, when you were a player, did you ever think about draft position?
No. What? I'm worried about my own job. Draft positions? No, I'm not thinking about draft positions. That was up to Floyd and everybody else. The players didn't have a say in that. The only say we had is, you know, how we go out there each and every day and get better, which in turn make the team better. But, you know, they're in this situation now, And all they can hope for is that, you know, guys continue to play. And just like I said yesterday, there's a reason why, even though, you know, on the outside looking in, we're saying, well, play Malik Willis and see where you go. But there's a reason why Ryan Tannehill potentially can be the starter if Levis doesn't play. Because you want to send a message that we're not giving up. We're going to continue to fight.
Yeah.
And we're not thinking about the offseason. We're thinking about the here and now. How can we become better as a team? And then, too, how can I now, which is sort of to me, it makes no sense because you should have did it games and games and games ago. But how now can I get guys involved? Because I guarantee you this, Treylon Burks is going to be involved even more this game.
If he plays,
I guarantee you, he will be more involved. I think he will play. I think it was illness. Yeah, so I think more than likely he'll play. I can't see, you know, him allowing an illness like, you know, the flu or something to keep him out of a game, unless your temperature is just so high you can't get it down. But believe me, they're going to target him more this game than they did the last game.
Okay, so I think that's sound thinking. So here's the other part of that equation. Where do we think Ryan Tannehill's head is right now? Because, you know, in your mind, this is what you always have to be ready to do when you're the backup quarterback, right? You go from, man, I haven't played in 2 months, you know, or however long it's been, to, wow, I'm in there. Mm-hmm. Game's on the line. So he's been a starter for a long, long time now. And now he comes in, hasn't started a game, team's out of it. I'm curious what he's going to look like. Does he look refreshed? Does he look spry out there because he hasn't been just taking the beating every week? There's always the weekly issue of protecting whoever the quarterback is. Mm-hmm. That's going to be lingering here. But is he going to be sharp? Is he going to be, you know, ready for the challenge here? Because it's not easy, right? He could just play this thing. Who cares?
I'm telling you, it's not easy to do. But I think for him or anybody in that position, when you've lost your job, essentially you think in your mind, I lost my job because I got injured. And that's part of it. It is part. But I think that just gave them an excuse to do what they eventually was going to do during the season.
But if Levis went out there against the Falcons in his debut, turned the ball over a couple of times, struggled to move the football.
He's still a quarterback.
I think they would have gone back to Tannehill.
Because I said this before. I said, once you put the young kid in, you don't go backwards. You don't, unless he gets injured. What happened? He got injured, hence come in the former starter.
He's also looked good.
Yeah, but my thing is, you're not, initially, once you commit to that quarterback who was your second round pick, you're with him. You're staying because you have a guy that's on an expiring contract. You're not going backwards, especially if you're not in a position to, with this roster, you're not in a position to win like you want to win. Once you make a commitment to that young quarterback who you believe is your franchise quarterback because you drafted him in the second round, so that does tell me you in your mind drafted him to be your franchise quarterback. You didn't just draft him because he was sitting there.
Oh, yes,
you moved
of
up
course. Yeah.
To get him. I don't know why you just didn't get him in the first round if that was the case, but that's neither here nor
there. That's a different conversation.
But once they committed to him, there's no going back. He's your quarterback until, like, you can't remove him after one start because that messes up. That messes with his psyche. You got to let him, give him an opportunity to come back and redeem himself, which I'm sure he would have. So, because he hadn't played great since the Atlanta game. He has had his moments, but he's been a rookie quarterback. So, to me, whether he would have thrown 3 touchdowns or an interception and it looked like at times the offense was stagnant, they still would have went out there and put him out there once again because now we're committed to him. We can't go back.
But as far as Ryan Tannehill is concerned now, I think he's looking at it like a job interview.
Yeah.
Like, this is my opportunity to show 31 other teams in the league that I can still play, that I can still be a starter.
It's not that. But you're right under other circumstances. You're right. But it's not that with Ryan Tannehill because I think he is who he is. We all know. I'm going to show everybody I'm healthy. That's what he had to show everybody. I am healthy. I'm ready to go. So when I hit the free agent market, I'm going. And he's just praying that he doesn't get hurt in the process. But it's always that unknown. If you get injured, never come back that season, and you go into free agency, everybody's still wondering, is he healthy? He didn't play. How healthy? So him getting back in the game, I want to show everybody that I'm healthy and ready to go. They already know who Ryan is, a quarterback. He's a good quarterback. That's just what he is. He can win you games, and if you surround him with good talent, he can even take you to a Super Bowl. But he's not that. He's far past you even thinking he's a franchise elite quarterback.
Oh, no.
He want to make sure that everybody understands that I am healthy. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to go.
And I think that there are, you know, the consensus on Tannehill. I think some GMs think he's a good starter. I think some GMs think that he's, you know, maybe better as a backup. I mean, like you said, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But it's at least an opportunity to play.
Yeah.
It's at least an opportunity to have a body of work at the end of this season after he went down with an injury. All right, let's get into your questions for D-May. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards. You can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace
on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace. Get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your calls and your texts. Ask D-Mace is presented by Calabria Pizza. Come try their pizza in Goodlettsville and Mount Juliet because life is just too short to eat bad pizza.
Can we imagine? I feel like I really like the theme song to Ask D-Mace.
I love that theme.
I'm picturing Stevie Wonder at the keyboard when he's playing that. I feel like Stevie could play that. I feel like did he write that? And we just did you know Stevie?
Could have.
Did you ask Stevie to write the theme
song? I know where Stevie, you know, grew up in Michigan, in Detroit, but I don't know him per se. You know.
Okay. I was just thinking up this thing like. Stevie, will you write the theme song for Ask D-Mace? We're going to have this
our
cool segment.
Our close personal friend, Stevie Wonder. Yeah, big fan of
the show. I make that call,
that
Willie.
Was Stevie Wonder inspired. Yes. Let's just say that was inspired.
I'll make that call, Willie. Yeah, okay. Don't worry about it.
All right, let's get into your questions for D-Mace. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Cam is on the line. What's up, Cam?
Hey, so I've asked this question to two other segments and cannot get a straightforward answer. So, D Mason is the best person to ask. If we go into next season and we're going to give Levis his shot, are we going to go in there with Malik being the backup, knowing what Malik is? And honestly, Malik is not a backup quarterback in the NFL. Or because Tannehill is going to leave. We understand that. Mm-hmm. So are we going to draft a quarterback for the third consecutive year? Or are we going to go and get Jay Cutler off the couch and like the Browns and be like, hey, we'll get Jay Cutler and he'll come off the couch and, you know, he'll be like the Browns and like Flacco. And then, you know, because, I mean, we're going to be down to one quarterback. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, 2 years in a row we've hurt quarterbacks. And I don't think the offensive line is going to get fixed overnight. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what exactly do we do? Thanks.
Thanks for your call, Cam.
Thank you, Cam.
Not Jay Cutler.
Yeah,
not Jay Cutler. I don't know what you're going to do, but it's not
Jay Cutler.
I mean,
Jay would probably take the job if you pay him enough money. But, I mean, I don't see him quarterbacking. But, I wonder, you know, what response he got from other shows when he did call. And we answered this earlier in the show about Malik Willis. Well, last segment, actually, because we were talking about Treylon Burks. At this point, I try to be fair in assessing it. You know, that's why last year I was like, no, just give kid a chance. You put him out there in a situation that wasn't, you know, one, it wasn't ideal for him. Hell, it wasn't ideal for nobody, let alone throw a rookie quarterback in there.
Right.
Can't put him in that situation. Give him another shot. You know, he can. Maybe he can't be a starter. I know that, but he can be a backup. I mean, I see a lot of horrible backups in this league, so you can't tell me he can't be one. But
it's not a glowing endorsement.
Yeah, I guess it's not. But in seeing him even more, I'm like, he's just not ready. Again, I'm never going to say he can't play in the NFL. That's not up to me. And I'm not this quarterback guru either. But from what I've seen and from what the Titans are potentially doing here with Ryan Tannehill, putting him in as quarterback, it tells me one or two things. One, it's either they don't feel comfortable with him underneath center, and they want to give him, you know, they want to give, if he does get an opportunity, it will be if Ryan Tannehill or if Levis can't come back and Ryan Tannehill ends up getting hurt, then we got to throw you in there. Or they don't plan on having him on the roster next year.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't show a whole lot of confidence.
Yeah, it doesn't show faith and confidence in him, because typically, you know, in this league, it's okay. The young quarterback gets hurt. We got another young quarterback on the roster that we want to see more of, because we're moving away from the veteran guy that's making the money that he's making. So we're going to play him instead of the veteran guy. Mm-hmm. They let him go and see what he can do. But the Titans didn't do it in this situation. I could see if they were in a position to make the playoffs, but they're not. Mm-hmm. They chose to go with the former starter. So that is telling me, like, man, you're skating on very, very, very thin ice. So to answer Cam's question, I don't think he's going to be here next year. They're going to go out and they're going to get another quarterback, not via the draft. They're not going to do that.
No.
They're going to go get a veteran quarterback. You can't go and get a rookie quarterback once again to back up a second-year quarterback. You can't do that. I guess you can, but it wouldn't be smart. They're going to go out there and get them a veteran quarterback, Cam. Don't worry about it. Who that veteran quarterback is, I don't know. There will be some, you know, out there wanting a job. So we'll see who that is.
I will echo a sentiment that Robbie Stanley has made over the last few days. Mm-hmm. If you go into next year and the only two quarterbacks you have in this roster are Will Levis and Malik Willis, that's a fireable offense.
Well, and what I was thinking, too, is sometimes when you have the young quarterback, the right guy to be the backup mm-hmm. is not another very young quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of what you think Willis could end up being if exactly. he keeps developing, sometimes you like to balance mm-hmm. the guy with, like when Steve McNair was young, the perfect guy to bring in was Neil O'Donnell. It was, mm-hmm. He was the perfect guy.
They even had Dave Craig.
Dave Craig was another guy. It was good. Mm-hmm. And they understood the job coming in. Mm-hmm. You're going to be the backup and you're going to be the mentor. And if we need you to go in, you can still play. Mm-hmm. But that's an important spot. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick has been that guy. So I don't know who we'd have to look at mm-hmm. the available guys, because mm-hmm. it's not like those guys just grow on trees, mm-hmm. right? Those were pretty special guys who had done a lot in the league.
Exactly.
And it's so hard to find quarterbacks right now. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick would have been the great backup for 10 years, but he always could find some team every year that needed a starter, like, we can't find anybody. Hey, Ryan, you want to be our quarterback? And he would be okay. Like, he wasn't bad, but he had limitations, right?
Yeah.
I think the perfect situation is Ryan Tannehill, but that's up to Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, does he want that job?
Right.
Does he want that job? And could he find a Ryan Fitzpatrick type of team that needs a quarterback? And he's better than what they can find.
I think he could find another spot to be a starter in this league. For how long, I don't know. But I do believe he's going to be a starter in this league next season for somebody's team, meaning Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I would agree. Let's get back into your questions for D. Mace. Travis is on the line with a question for D. Mace. What's up, Travis?
Hey, D. Mace. I know you're not a quarterback guru,
uh-huh.
But I know you're a wide receiver guru, and I just want to ask you, from a grade of 1 to 10, our wide receiver group going forward with Treylon Burks and D-Hop, I know we only have them for the next year, but I just want to know what you really think about this receiving core, because I watched you growing up, and I know you know how to play receiver. So I just want to get your thoughts on that. Now I hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Travis.
Thank you for the call, Travis. I think this receiving core is a good receiving core. It's not a bad one. I mean, if you just look at each individual skill set, let's not look at the numbers, because I think a lot of times, you know, we judge receiver or receivers, receiver groups based upon everybody's numbers, not necessarily looking at what type of offense they run, how they run that offense, roles of each player. So we can't look at the Titans, even though D-Hop is, I think, what, 80-something yards, 79 yards, I think, from 1,000 yards. And he only has 59 catches, so which means I think I need to pull that up because I said at the beginning of the year, I said he's not going to have as many catches, but his yards per catch will go up, which means he will have yardage. And it has played out just like that. He only has, 50, 60-some catches, and he almost has 1,000 yards. You don't see that from a D-Hop. D-Hop in every way usually has about 90 catches by now. But because of the way this offense is ran, he doesn't have that. So when I look at this receiving core, I look at it from the standpoint of the skill set that each individual guy has, which tells me they have a good receiver room. But here's the but. They need to add more speed. They need to add somebody that not only has down the field speed, but has like quickness and breakaway speed. I can take a hitch and go, 80. You look at Tank Dell. You look at Zay Flowers. Tyreek Hill. I'm just talking about the young guys.
I know, but that is probably the picture of your speedster.
Exactly. So you look at these guys and you think, well, how are they able to do certain things offensively? Why? Because they have the speed to do it. Mm-hmm. Listen to Vrabel very closely. And when he's just describing what's going on from an offensive standpoint, he even said it this past game. He said, listen, it's everybody's fault. We got to block better. We got to read the defense better as a quarterback. And we got to get to our spots faster. Outside guys, which tells me they don't have the necessary foot speed when things need to be sped up. You don't have nobody. You have a big body in Traylon that he gets going. And once he gets going, he's a freight train. Mm-hmm. But you don't have nobody that can zero to 100 in 3 seconds. You don't have nobody, or 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. You don't have nobody at the receiver room that has that speed. You need somebody. But also, that person needs to be able to become a game breaker and a guy that can consistently catch the ball. Because a fast guy that can't catch the ball is just a fast guy. That's all. He's just a track runner. I can go get any track runner I want to. But like a Tank Dell, like a Zay Flowers, those guys not only are fast, but they can catch the football. That's what you need. So the receiving room is a good receiver room. It is. I believe that this is a really good. They just need that extra. Like, everybody has their roles, but nobody has the role of a speedster. Nobody. Well, we need that guy.
Yeah.
You put him. Just think. You put a speed guy in a slot or on the outside. You got D-Hop. You got Traylon. And then you got whoever you're going to put at tight end. You need a veteran tight end, too. But just look at that with Will Levis and a better offensive line. That's scary if they can put it all together with Tim Kelly's play calling.
More of your questions for D-Mace coming up next. Caroline Willie D-Mace. It's bowl season, and 102.5 and 106.3, the game, and 94.9 The Fan is your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoffs. It's presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment. Tonight at 6 p.m., tune in for the Gasparilla Bowl on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game as Georgia Tech takes on Central Florida. For a list of games carried on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and 94.9 The Fan, hit up our website at thegamenashville.com/bowlgames. Ask D-Mace. Get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's get back into your phones and your questions for Derek Mason. Eric is on the line. What's up, Eric?
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas to you and yours,
Merry
Eric.
Christmas.
Yes. Hey, and D-Mace, I think I got a joke that you might like. I heard this recently. So a man, pastor of a church, was talking to one of his members, and he said, you know, that I came by your house this week. And he quoted Revelation 3:20. He said, "Behold, I stood at the door and knocked, and I was hoping that you would hear my voice so I could come in and dine with you." So the member responded. He said, "Yes, but unfortunately," and he responded with Genesis 3:10, "I did hear you stand at the door and knock, but I was naked and afraid, and I hid myself."
So he must have just got out the shower or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, man.
Okay, my question is this, D-Mace. You know, one of the things, of course, is the Titans are out of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But what did you do as a player to try and motivate yourself when you knew you were out of the playoffs? You had no shot, because I know some players just, they say, well, what's the use, and just don't give full efforts. But what motivated you to try and do that, to keep playing and going out there to give it your best, even though you knew you were eliminated from the playoffs? Guys, it's always good to talk to you. Merry Christmas, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas as well. This is a good question. What did I do? What was my motivation? It wasn't.
Because I can remember a year, and I think it was your last. I think it ended up being your last year for the Titans. But everything went wrong. Steve McNair had a season-ending injury. A number of other guys got hurt.
The defense was depleted.
Fell apart. Yeah. The defense had all kinds of guys. Mm-hmm. I think Kevin Carter had a season-ending injury. But you had a really good year. Billy Volek became the quarterback, and you and Drew Bennett put up really good numbers, despite the fact that it was hard to. You guys couldn't outscore everybody.
I mean, we couldn't stop. We couldn't stop a nosebleed then, because of all of our guys were injured from on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I come from a school of situations. It doesn't motivate. That isn't what motivate me. Like a situation, like that's not what motivates me. Because if it did, you'd be like a yo-yo. You'd be up and down, up and down, up and down. What motivated me was just to be the best player that I could possibly be. What motivated me was, listen, guys are counting on me, you know? So I'm going to go out there and I'm going to give it my all, whether we're in the playoffs or not in the playoffs. That still doesn't take away me doing my job. It's like anything else. It's like, just because this is going on, doesn't mean I don't still need to do my job the best I know how. And it was very few times that I think we missed the playoffs once when I was in Baltimore, and we missed the playoffs our first 2 years here, and then that 2004 season, there might have been one more
season. The 2001 year.
Again, another
injury-riddled.
So when we missed the playoffs in each instance, it was because we just had insurmountable injuries. Like, we just couldn't overcome the injuries. But if we're playing on a level playing field, then we were always in the playoffs or in the hunt, and then had to secure it at the end. But my motivation was just going out there, and it wasn't – you played a game to win. Yes, you played a game to get to the Super Bowl and win. Yes. But my motivation was beyond that, because if we wasn't going to the Super Bowl, then what do I do? Nothing? My motivation was beyond that. My motivation was – to be the best player I can be. My motivation was all those, you know, hours that we played football in the front yard with my brothers and them, you know, pushing me, beating me up and all that. Those things were my motivation, because other people were watching to see what I would do. And I went out there and I tried, or not try, I went out there and gave it my all, everything that I had. Now, every game wasn't perfect. We didn't win every game, but you could never turn on the film and say Mace didn't give 100%. Never, ever, ever, ever did you finish watching the game and say, man, that kid didn't give 100%. No, because I wasn't playing for you, like coach. I wasn't playing for a win. I was playing because it was just a burning desire within me just to be a great player. And I didn't want to go back to the bench either. I had been there my first 3.5 years. And when I became a starter, I said, well, I will never again be second fiddle to anyone else. And that's how I approached it.
All right. In honor of Eric, I've got a good dad joke. My neighbor told me I saved this one.
Without further ado.
Okay.
So it's all about how you deliver it.
I know. I got to make sure I nail this. I had a crazy dream last night. Okay. I was swimming in an ocean of orange soda.
Okay.
Turned out it was just a fantasy. A Fanta.
A Fanta.
And I was a fan. Wasn't a fan as a kid of a nice orange soda?
Oh, you had to.
From Fanta. So I could see you could dream about that.
I loved the Fanta commercials.
Yeah.
Do you want a Fanta?
Come on, who doesn't love a Fanta? Fanta and Faygo.
Just a fantasy.
Fanta and Faygo.
Oh, fantastic joke, Willie.
I love it, Willie.
Like a B or B minus on that. No.
I give you
above,
a B.
Above average, for sure.
Because you had to think about it, and your delivery was good. You had to pause for a second. Let me get this right, okay? Then you delivered it. It was like, okay, I like that one. The kids would have looked applause. At you like you were like.
My neighbor delivered it better. He did a better job on that. So I should have brought him out here.
We'll have him phone in next week. Wes in Hermitage is on the line with a question for Derek Mason. What's up, Wes?
Y'all know this is my favorite segment of the week.
Yeah, it's Wes, what did you think? What kind of grade? What do you think of the fantasy?
You know, I'm gonna give that a solid 7.25.
Okay, that's a C.
All right, I'll take
it. All right, C.
We grade on a point scale over here.
Okay. So.
But yeah, y'all can hear me all right, correct?
Yep, got you. Yep.
Okay. I was having some Wi-Fi connection issues today, so I just moved my modem out to the barn, and thank God I now have some stable Wi-Fi. So.
Ah. Stable.
I'll give you a solid 7.25 for that.
I get a 7.25 for that too?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm right back at you.
Okay. We'll keep it. We'll bookmark that one. But Derek, my question for you, man, I really want to ask a holiday question, but I just can't seem to get out of football, and I like hearing positive football things. So, this year is not a year for that from the Titans. If you could go back and replay any game of your career, college or pro, what game would that be and why?
Oh, man. The easy answer would be obviously the Super Bowl against the Rams. That's low-hanging fruit. And I think if you asked every player that was on that team which game they would go back and replay, it would be that specific game. But beside that, I think it was 3 years later. It's not even a Baltimore game, even though that one hurt. Because if you just looked at, that's why sometimes numbers, you just can't look at numbers when talking about a football game. Because we outgained them by damn near 200 yards. It might have been over 200 yards.
Ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
It was just so lopsided. But they got turnovers, blocked field goals. We missed field goals. A field goal, I believe. Two. Missed one before the half, and then that one got blocked. So they did the necessary things to win that game, Baltimore, ultimately. And we just made too many mistakes. But it was the 0-3 when we went to New England, because that was the year New England played the Raiders, and it was the Tuck game. Mm-hmm. That game, we tried to play it in a phone booth. We tried to play this game in a phone booth with New England, and it wasn't getting us anywhere. And it wasn't until, because Bill Belichick, these are instances where Bill Belichick, while I still believe Bill Belichick is the greatest coach in football, period, is because, yes, you had Tom Brady, but he wasn't Tom then. But you were able to take away what we love doing, and that's run the football. You were able to take it away. It had nothing to do with your quarterback or anything else. It had everything to do with schematics as a head coach and what you want. And Bill is great at that, especially on defense. And it wasn't until we started to throw the football that game opened up for us, that we started moving the ball. And then we got, then we got Eddie involved and all this other stuff. But that game, it was like if we had started doing that early, because they couldn't cover us. New England couldn't cover us that game. There was a mismatch with Drew. It was a mismatch with myself. We had more skilled guys that can go out there and get the job done with Steve. I think that was his MVP year too, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, he was a co-MVP. Co-MVP with Peyton Manning. Yeah.
And that game, had we started off different philosophy-wise and You know, but we wanted to play this game in a phone booth, and I believe that's how Jeff wanted to play at the time. I don't think that had anything to do with Heimerdinger.
Extremely cold weather.
Exactly.
It was 4
degrees. Freezing.
It was amazing.
But then we started to throw the football, and we started to move the ball, but it was a little bit too late. Then ultimately, I remember 4th and 15. I'm in the inside. Drew's on the outside. I run a clear route. Drew comes in. He has this little fella on him. I take the safety and the nickel back with me. Drew's wide, and it just, I felt so bad for Drew.
Yep. He had a chance. He had it.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Because ultimately, if we win that game, we were the best team in the AFC. Mm-hmm. We were the best team. Had we won that game, we would ultimately win to the Super Bowl, I believe. Just like the year prior. No, 2 years prior, I believe. What was it, 02?
2000 was the year that the Ravens game.
Had we won that game, we would ultimately, I believe, would have won the Super Bowl. Because, again, we were the best team in the AFC. And we arguably we could have been the best team in the National Football League that year.
Yep. And the second best might have been the Ravens.
Second best was the Ravens because of their defense.
Early.
Yes, yes. Yes.
That game, 23 first downs for the Titans, 6 for the Ravens. 6 the whole game.
That is
final
insane.
Score 24-10.
That is crazy. Weird game. It's a weird
that
game.
That was a weird game.
All right, coming up next, we'll chat with Jen Mueller. She covers the Seattle Seahawks for Root Sports in Seattle. She's also a sideline reporter for the Seattle Seahawks. We'll chat with her and preview the Titans Seahawks game on Sunday. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.